Elko. Tonight's program is designed to create a genuine dialogue between our elders and youth, to experience each other's stories of how it is and was to be the same age.
I'm Veronica Roy. I'm from, well, White Earth, Callaway, you know. And I grew up, I started out in Cass Lake, and then we moved to Detroit Lakes, and then we moved to Callaway. So, kind of all over.
You've been all over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am Hank, and I'm originally from White Earth. My family is. I was born in St. Paul, and I've lived all over the country, and I grew up all over the country, and I'm still growing.
Yeah. Okay.
Could you tell us, who are the most important people in your life, and can you tell me why they are?
My grandparents and my parents, because, you know, they're always there to teach you and give you lessons in life and help you grow as an individual and with the people around you.
Mine have been that family also, mother and father, grandmother. The things that they taught us was watching them in life, and they taught us it was okay if we made mistakes. And that's why they became the most important people, because they made you feel comfortable with being who we are. So who would you say is your role models, and what do you admire about them?
I'd say people who can go out into the community and just, you know, do and say what they need to do without permission or without, like, looking around at people, you know, letting other people sway them, you know? Somebody who can just stand up and be confident and be strong in their beliefs, even if it might be wrong at the time or, you know, people disagree with them. If they can still go out and say, you know, what they believe in truly, then those are my role models in life.
I like what you said, that your role models are people that could speak up for what they believe in, and whether they're right or wrong, and hopefully that they're right.
Yeah.
But that they were able to speak up. I really like people that do that, and I think we're going to get along with this. My role models have been quite a few people, and they, like you, have been people that others thought were crazy in the beginning, but after watching them and listening to them, that they started to make more sense,
mm-hmm.
and that they too had the teachings of the elders. It started making more sense as we got older. Moving on, what is your high school like? What was it like?
Well, it was, you know, kind of fast moving, because I went to Detroit Lakes, so, you know, there's a lot of white kids there. But, you know, it's kind of fast moving, and, you know, it was just, yeah.
I had the pleasure and displeasure of also going to and attending Detroit Lakes High School, which was back in the 60s. At that time, a cousin of mine and I were the only two Native people that went to it. Consequently, we stuck together. They didn't know anything about our families, but we were like glue. We stuck to each other and believed in ourselves. And going through that, and Detroit Lakes was just learning.
Yeah, it's kind of hard going to that school because, you know, a lot of the kids around you don't really, like, understand. And you get a lot of, I got actually called Pocahontas a lot. And, you know, I just laughed it off because I thought it was kind of funny too. But at the same time, it's like, I'm not Pocahontas. She's from a whole different tribe. And, you know, the other kids didn't understand that. And they don't know what it's like on the res. I mean, I knew a few kids who do have friends on the res, but they're, like, partying and stuff with the kids that they do have friends with. Well, that was terrible. But they don't get that, like, in a day, you know, like, actually right now we have a couple of friends who are moving here from the cities because they're having a hard time down there. So they're just, like, living in our house right now. And growing up, we actually had a lot of that. Like, nobody understood that. You know, we just, like, take in people to help them. And, like, everybody else around you, if you ever mention that, they'd just be like, oh, that's so weird. You know, like, you're Native, and Natives do stuff like that. And, you know, so you got a lot of that. Like, oh, Natives do that? And I didn't think they would do that. And
did you ever get in trouble in school because of being Native?
Actually, no. I would get into a lot of arguments in my government class. But I wouldn't really, like, get into trouble. Like, I wouldn't get into fights or anything. But I've heard a lot of fight stories from my dad because he went to school up in International Falls. And, you know, they would, like, pull his ponytail or, you know, say mean comments to his little brother so he'd get into fights with them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know. Yeah.
Just to keep you updated on what's going on also is that gesturing a lot with her hands. So you have to watch her for what she's really saying. So what do you do to have fun?
Well, nowadays, you know, sometimes I like to play outside with my siblings. I actually like to wrestle around with them a lot. You know, they're younger. My little 4-year-old brother, he likes the Avengers and Spider-Man and Hulk and stuff. So he'll come at you and start fighting. But when they're not home, I like to play video games or maybe drive to Fargo, go shopping, watch a movie.
What would you suggest for the younger people for having fun without getting into the troubles that are out there?
You hear it a lot, but just say no. Like, you know, just because your friends are drinking or, you know, think it's funny to drink and drive or, you know, drive around with your lights shut off at night, don't do that. It's scary. You could die. Or when you grow up, your skin will get really gross. That's one of my main things. Like, I don't want to look all like a leather purse when I grow up. You know? But also, it's like you don't need to do that to have fun. You know, if you just run around and like go for a jog or something, that's a natural high. And it feels really good. Or if you just, you know, sit around and talk about things that are deeply personal instead of drinking over them or getting high to, you know, escape those problems. It's way more therapeutic, and you won't get hooked.
Thankfully, I learned that long ago, and that's one of the things that I've spent a lot of my life passing on and talking about was alternatives to having that kind of a life. I wanted to know out of personal curiosity, and I think it's very important that people know that there's got to be, and there should be, and there are alternatives to letting the schools be the babysitters, mm-hmm. and that they can do things. What are your responsibilities at home?
A lot of cooking and cleaning, and help out with my younger siblings a lot, and to just, you know, kind of keep it clean and keep it, you know, upkeep.
Do you find yourself teaching them too?
Yeah, sometimes. You know, sometimes you gotta get on them and, you know, tell them not to jump on the bed because if they fall off, they'll hurt. But, you know, you turn around and walk down the hallway and you hear them thump anyways.
I was referring more to the traditionals.
Oh, the traditional ways?
And realize that halfway through it that, my goodness, my grandma told me this. Mm-hmm. And now I'm passing it on.
Yeah. Actually, my little sister, she dances all three categories, and about a month ago, they went to a state drum, or not state drum and dance, but a drum and dance invitational, and we actually had to help her, you know, practice, and so it's a lot of, like, that kind of stuff. Like, we have to help them practice and, you know, keep up and, you know, learn songs, you know, so they know how to dance to a song or follow the beat. And then also a lot of like you can't touch things, or you can't, you know, you don't want to play with that because it's traditional, or, you know, that's used for this purpose, so don't, you know, it's not a toy. Why do you want young people to carry on traditions?
I believe it's very, very important to remember where you came from, where your family came from, and to share that with your friends and your children in hopes that they will pass it on, because it's a very beautiful philosophy and very beautiful life of being with nature and being able to share things. And sometimes the lessons were hard, harsh, whatever you want to use. And sometimes it took years to get the answer to it, to figure out what the answer was. But they're all lessons that are important in life, and through your struggle to find that answer, your children, your siblings, will also learn to understand that by watching you.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's back to the same thing. It's family that's most important, and sharing with one another. I do remember a lot of experiences and a lot of fun that I had with my brothers and sisters. And some of them were dangerous, but nonetheless, we had one another. And that's where the family came in and helped and knew that when you had some trouble, you needed some help, and you didn't ask, invariably somebody or one of them would come out and come to your side and ask you, or just come and help you without being asked. I think that was the most beautiful part, and that is the most beautiful part of family. I remember having some troubles, and out of nowhere, a brother or sister would pop up and say, "Hey, would you like to go have dinner or something?"
Mm-hmm.
Wow! I needed the company. I needed somebody to be around. Yeah, so that communication is sibling, and it's family, and that's what makes the people all one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, and I think that needs to be passed down. It's something that a lot of young people could learn and use today.
What is your family like?
Pretty tight-knit. We like to hang out a lot and watch movies together. And actually, a couple weekends ago, we went down to Maple Grove just to go to a water park and watch The Hobbit on IMAX.
I like it down there, yes.
Yeah, it's so nice down there. Yeah.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Well, on my mom's side, I have my older sister, Corrine, my older brother, Alex. And then I have two younger siblings, my little sister, Olivia, and then my youngest brother, James. On my dad's side, I have a bunch. Yeah. And they're all younger. I'm actually the oldest on my dad's side, but the middle child on my mom's side.
My family is quite large.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even give you a number.
Well, it's almost like my cousins are my siblings, too, because we grew up pretty tight-knit, so, yeah.
That's what I love about the people, that family includes everybody. The umbrella is vast.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up that we would introduce people as saying, although they were friends down the road, we'd say, "This is my cousin."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the term came, that they're all related and everything else. And that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
This is my cousin. Why? Because we spent all of our time running around in the woods and playing and having fun. And, of course, then we didn't have the games, the TVs, and all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So our time was spent exploring the wilderness. That I would like to see more of.
Yeah.
That going on, and I understand some do. And I really... What happens when your parents, or if they do get upset with you? How have you been disciplined?
Well, my dad likes to roar. He gets pretty loud. But, you know, it's kind of like a tough love kind of thing. Like, you know, if you do something right, you'll get praised for it. But if you don't, you're just kind of like, they'll get after you. They won't be like, "Oh, you know, you did it wrong. Here's how you should do it next time." It's like, "You should do it right every time, you know? You know, and listen." We hear that a lot in my house, you know, "Use your ears, listen."
Explain the tough love you just mentioned. that term just popped out.
Yeah, well, okay, well, we, you know how we spend a lot of time together and stuff, but, you know, some of it spent fighting and arguing and, you know, and it's just like they love you and they want you to succeed, but they're not going to baby you through it. They're gonna tell you what to do and how to do it, and you know, if you're doing it wrong, they will tell you. There's a lot of criticism, but it's constructive criticism. Like, they won't let you get away with things. You know? You know what I'm saying?
When I was first introduced to a tough love concept, this had to have been 30 some years ago. What I was told was, would you take a child, a person that was diabetic, and take them to a candy store and buy them a bag of candy? as much as they would holler and scream, it's tough love to have to say no to something that's going to harm them or possibly kill them.
Mm-hmm.
I've stuck with that story up till I'm going to be passing on these things too. So I think it's valuable to always remember that and to live with that. Those are one of the teachings of the old ways too.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a story about any times that you had trouble at home.
There's lots. Yeah, it's, because my mom sews and makes outfits and regalias and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I help her. And, I don't know, like, sometimes, you know, if you're not doing it the right way, she will get on you about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made me so nervous that I would start, like, when she's not around, I would go really slow so that when she get back, I'd be like, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? You know, sewing it right? Or am I cutting it right? But then, like, she always has a way of, even after, you know, she's gotten on you and you're nervous and you don't want to make any more mistakes, she'll look over and be like, why are you cutting that so straight? She'll be like, that's for washi chus, you know, that's not your job. You don't have to make it perfect. So I think, like, even if I get in trouble at home, they will always, you know, make it right. Like, so it won't be bad trouble. So it doesn't escalate into a worse problem. So I think my problem is they try to catch trouble early so it doesn't turn into bigger trouble, is what I'm trying to say.
I learned a lot of things the hard way. I had to. I'm more of a hands-on type person. So when they told me what was wrong, I had to experiment and find out why it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And generally and typically, I got hurt in the process. And I heard others. But those are all general parts of growing up and learning and living and realizing that the only way that you can get these things is by actually experimenting and experiencing them and knowing that when somebody says that, hey, if you touch that hot stove, you're going to get burned. How many kids have went up and touched it just to see if they would?
Mm-hmm.
That's the understanding. That's the hands-on experience. What do you, Veronica, want adults, the elders, those that are older, a little older than yourself, to know about? I don't like using the term kids your age, but young people your age, that you haven't been able to tell them.
That I think sometimes they forget that, like, we have our own experiences in life, and, you know, they like to give us advice, and it's good. But they forget that, you know, we're having our own experiences and we're out doing our own things, and that they should remember that too, you know, that we're not just the way that they see us, because we see ourselves differently than they see us. That's pretty much what I want to say. Okay, what advice would you give to a young person my age?
To believe in yourself, to believe that no matter what other people say, that the only one standing beside you is the Great Spirit. It gets you mind to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that between the two of you, there's nothing that can defeat you, that can beat you. You got to believe in yourself, and you got to give that and hand it out. The more you hand it out, the more you're going to get back, because it's love and beauty that's truly in your heart.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy, Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.